We continue our celebration of Christmas with today's joyful feast of the Epiphany. Ang dakilang kapistahan ng tatlong hari. Actually, the name of this feast, Epiphany, comes from the Greek word for manifestation or revelation. So the official name in Tagalog is Kapistahan ng Pagpapakita. So we celebrate the Lord revealing himself, manifesting himself, revealing himself as a man, as a child born in Bethlehem. When did he reveal himself? Well, started with his birth at Christmas, and he has never stopped until this very day. He's still revealing himself. But there are some big moments, some significant moments that happened after that Christmas morning, and that's what we celebrate today. The first of the big moments is the arrival of the mysterious strangers from the east, the Magi, the wise men, mga pantas. Calling their visit an epiphany reminds us that the event is not just about the Magi. It is about them, yes, of course, because they're the ones who have made the journey. But even more, it's God revealing himself to them. God has come in the flesh. And he's making himself known, first to the poor Jewish shepherds in the region around Bethlehem. Remember, an angel is the one who told them the great news, the good news of great joy for all the people, the birth of the Savior. But then, before long, another heavenly sign, not an angel, but a star, guided people who were not from Bethlehem, who were not from Judea, who were not from the Promised Land. They're not even Jews. They're pagans. God is revealing himself to all the nations. And this had been prophesied to the Jews centuries before, and many prophecies speak about it. Today's first reading is one of them, a beautiful passage in the prophet Isaiah, where he speaks about the days of the Messiah, when light will shine on them, and all nations will be drawn to them, will be drawn to the city of Jerusalem. They'll be bringing precious gifts, they'll be paying tribute, and they'll be praising the Lord. All the nations, not just the Jews. So the church has always seen the arrival of the Magi as the first fulfillment of these prophecies. They're the first in a long line of people who will seek the King of Kings. And we are in that line ourselves, maybe at the end of the line, but we're on the same line, the same search, the same honoring of the King of Kings. So let's reflect on the Magi themselves for a moment, and then we can reflect on how they are examples for us, especially in this Jubilee year, 2025. The Magi, suddenly they just show up in Jerusalem, and they ask King Herod this question: where is the newborn king of the Jews? Perhaps they thought the newborn king would be in the house of the reigning king, the current king. That would make perfect sense. I mean, if you're looking for a king, where do you look for one? You look in the palace. Herod knew they weren't looking for his son. In fact, that's why Herod was so disturbed. Some other king is on the scene. But why were these Magi looking for the king of the Jews in the first place? They were not Jews, so why should they care whether the Jews have a king or not? What difference does it make? Who cares? And that's the question that people in our own times ask. Who cares? Who cares if Jesus is born? What difference does it make to me? The Magi give their reason why they care, why they are seeking. They say to Herod, "We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." They have this intuition that this king is more than just the king of the Jews, that he deserves homage from others as well. In fact, from all nations, that the king of the Jews is in fact the savior of the world, the very thing that the angel told the shepherds. A savior has been born, not just the king of the Jews, but the savior. So that's why, that's what's revealed today. That's why this is an epiphany day. and that's why we celebrate today, because God reveals himself to everyone. Now, we're going to get another revelation moment, another epiphany moment next Sunday when we reflect on the baptism of Jesus on that occasion, which takes place 30 years later. The Father himself spoke from heaven, and he said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." That's a revelation, who this is, the beloved Son of the Father. But we have to wait till next week for that one. For now, let's just stay with this fascinating story of the visit of the Magi. It's only 12 verses long, and it's only in the Gospel of Matthew, not in the other Gospels, but its popularity and its importance overwhelm the few details that we know about the Magi. The Bible doesn't tell us very much about them. We don't know their names, although the tradition identifies them as Caspar, Melchor, and Balthazar. We don't know really where they're from. They just come from the East. The tradition designates that one of them is from Europe, one of them is from Asia, and one of them is from Africa, therefore representing the whole world, all the nations. We don't know their ages, although some traditions tend to regard one as elderly, one as middle-aged, and one as a young man, therefore representing all stages of the human life. And we don't even know how many they were, although the very long tradition is that there were three of them, because there were three precious gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Ginto, incenso, at myrrh. What we do know about these men is that they made the effort to make a long journey in search of a newborn king, that they followed a heavenly sign, the Star of Bethlehem, and that they gave him precious gifts. And because of what we do know about them, we can see that these Magi are very good models for us all. Models of the journey of faith, or we could call it the pilgrimage of faith, since the idea of the pilgrimage is very important in the Jubilee year. In fact, the theme of the Jubilee year is pilgrims of hope. Well, these Magi are clearly pilgrims of hope. They make their journey with hope of finding the newborn king. It's not enough simply to see the star and say, "I believe that that star is a sign of a newborn king." It's good to say that, but that's not enough. Because that's something like reciting the creed. "I believe in God. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." Very good. In fact, necessary, but not enough. Faith implies a journey, a pilgrimage. Faith moves us to do something, to live differently, to relate to people differently, to relate to life and to the world differently. It changes us as we follow it. So if we're simply reciting the creed and not changing, we're not moving, we're not very good pilgrims. Now, the journey is not an easy one. Now, we don't face anywhere near the difficulty that travelers in biblical times faced, but traveling is never easy, even in modern times. When we travel, we encounter traffic, we encounter delays, unexpected costs, hardships, weather problems. There's so many uncertainties, especially if we're not exactly sure where we're going or how long it will take. And we face opposition, especially in the journey of faith. There's always people who are going to oppose us, even persecution. And on the journey, we have this feeling of being somehow uprooted. We're neither in the comfort of home, nor are we in our final destination. And that's the description of our journey through life. We're not really home, and we're not in heaven yet. But our focus on our destination moves us with hope, and so we persevere. And the Magi are examples. Because in the journey of faith, our destination is not just a physical place. Our destination is a person, Jesus Christ himself. We seek him. We search for him. And we follow any sign that directs us to him. And any sign that doesn't direct us to him, or any person that doesn't direct us to him, well, we don't follow, if we're wise. Now, we might not see a star, a miraculous star, maybe, but something attracts our attention, something draws us to God, something moves us to act. Our star might be a person. It might be a saint. It might be a person in our own life. It might be a song. It might be a book. It might be an event. But what matters is that we are willing to get up and keep going. We're willing to take the risk of leaving our comforts and embark on the pilgrimage of faith. When the Magi find the Lord, what do? They prostrate themselves, meaning they make a gift of themselves. They abandon themselves to him, even though he's a little child in a poor stable. And then they give him these precious gifts. Gold, in honor of the king. They have found, they know he's a king. Incense, in honor of God, because incense was burned to offer prayer to God. And then myrrh, in honor of one who will die. Myrrh was used in the burial anointings. And then they leave. But not because they're finished and now they just go home. No, now they follow a new way. They themselves have been changed, and so their pilgrimage continues, and they themselves become the star, and we're following them now. See, the inspiration of the Magi is what we're reflecting on now, so they become like a star for us. So they continue their pilgrimage, and so do we, or hopefully so do we. Notice that these Magi, they no longer need any star. They have Jesus, the light of the world. They no longer need gold or frankincense and myrrh. They have Jesus, the most precious treasure of all, the pearl of great price. They no longer need to consult Herod or follow any of his directions because they have Jesus, the King of Kings. And this tells us what we have as we continue our own pilgrimage. To be a pilgrim of hope, as the Jubilee year tells us, it means being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the Jubilee year, even if we have had an opportunity to travel, and hopefully we can make a pilgrimage during this Jubilee year, we're likely to end up living in the same place where we live now. But if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are changed by our encounter with him. We are changed by our pilgrimage toward him. We are made more aware that we do not belong to the world and the lights of the world. We do not depend on money or on possessions or on power. We live a new way, the way of faith in Jesus Christ. So as we continue this Christmas season, we have one more week, as we celebrate this feast of the Epiphany, let us be wise, like the wise men. Let us be like the Magi. Let us be pilgrims of hope, courageous enough to get up and seek the Lord, and wise enough to follow him into the future.